Man, welcome back, everybody, to Off the Field Podcast 106. Cap and I are back from WrestleMania weekend, a wrestling fan's Super Bowl. Did you have fun?
Oh, my God. Fun. Mm-hmm. Doesn't even begin to describe how Vegas was. I had lots of fun. Mm-hmm. You had lots of fun.
Indeed.
Shortsy and Sam had lots of fun.
Yes, yeah, Sam is Shortsy's girlfriend. I don't think people knew that, but...
now they know.
Well, Cap just threw it out there. Yes, you and I drove our way to Las Vegas.
That's right.
I love a good road trip, so...
Who doesn't?
Well, you like to fly all the time, so I would say you.
Well, it is more convenient.
It is more convenient, but money.
Money.
So why don't we start with what we did before we get into all the WrestleMania madness, because that's going to be a majority of this podcast. And I know we've been talking about wrestling a lot the past like three podcasts. It's just the hot season, the hottest season for WWE right now. So we'll be back to baseball and other aspects of life in the next podcast, but we have a lot to talk about.
That we do.
So we get there, and before even checking into a hotel, before even going to the strip, before going anywhere, we go to meet a WWE superstar whose name is Rhea Bloody Ripley.
Mommy.
And how did that happen?
Well, so basically on Reddit, there's a subreddit called WrestleMania Plans where a bunch of people discuss big PLEs, mainly WrestleMania, but other PLEs. Mm-hmm. But because we're in the timeline of WrestleMania, people were starting to share like, oh, look, Rhea Ripley's doing a free meet and greet.
Free.
Brought to you by C4 Energy.
Free.
So I decided to tell you about it, what, maybe a week before?
Yeah.
And yeah. I told you, like, hey, I know you wanted to leave, like, just before noon.
Yep.
But Rhea Ripley.
Yeah. Well, the plan originally to you wasn't even about meeting Rhea Ripley. It was about making money off somebody who really wanted to meet Rhea Ripley.
Yeah, our plan originally was to be at the front of the line.
Yeah.
And then sell our spot, as in let them cut in front of us for a couple $100.
Yeah.
And we would have split the profit right there.
Yeah. We were thinking like 200. 100,
exactly.
100.
Or whoever was the top offer.
Yeah, that too.
But obviously that didn't happen because people don't like to follow the rules.
No. Well, didn't really matter. She met everybody.
Which I was shocked by that. Yeah. There's at least, what, 400 people in line?
I would say, yeah.
400 people. We were around like 215-ish.
217, according to you.
Yeah. The gentleman behind us. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And the original cutoff was 275.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess Rhea was so nice because why isn't she? She decided to meet everybody in line.
Yep.
Down to the last person. Yeah. And we actually got to meet Rhea Ripley.
Mm-hmm.
She liked my shirt.
A Kathy Kelly shirt. I had not wearing today.
No, not today. I'm wearing my Cora Jade shirt. Mm-hmm. The final shirt of the bunch of shirts that I basically ordered for Mania weekend.
Maybe next week you'll finally see Cap in a non-wrestling shirt.
Yeah. So, but this is a wrestling episode.
Of course.
So I decided,
that's
why
we have the displays, our frosted yeets, which we'll get into.
Yeah. By the way, how was it for you meeting Rhea Ripley?
Meeting Rhea? So I thought Rhea was going to be this like monstrous presence, like who towers over everybody. She's so dominant, and she was about like at my chin, maybe. I don't know why. I thought she'd be at least a head taller than me, but yeah, she was really nice. And you know, she has this evil goth character, but if you know Rhea Ripley before this, Rhea Ripley, blonde Australian sweetheart, and I could totally see it through all of that when I met her. And I walk up, I say, you're a badass. And she goes, oh, thank you so much. And then she goes, oh, professional camera. I'm like, well, when I'm meeting a pro like you. And then, we took our picture, and then that was it. What about you? I mean, we already mentioned she loved your shirt. And just overall, how was she for you?
Oh, yeah, she was so nice. I literally, like, when it was my turn, because I think you went first, right? Or did I go
you
first?
You did.
Okay, so I went first. And I told her, hey, obviously I bought my Kathy Kelly shirt and I brought it. And I said, hey, do you like my shirt? And she goes, I do. I noticed it from far away. And I was like, oh, she noticed me.
She noticed Kathy Kelly.
And me. But yeah, it was really cool. And then we took a picture. And she was actually really nice. Not like we'll get into later at the Epic, the people at the photo ops.
I'm trying to think who was mean.
No, not mean, but like more like how the process went. Exactly. But yeah, it was really nice. She was really nice, and just great experience overall.
All right. So after that, got to our hotel, settled in, waited for Shortsy, and we really didn't do much. We kind of just chilled, waiting for the WrestleMania weekend to start. But we did some Vegas stuff before we did all the wrestling weekend. And we went to Hell's Kitchen, which is Gordon Ramsay, famous chef, probably most famous restaurant, I would say.
Yeah.
And we had to book a reservation, I don't know, 2 months in advance, probably.
It feels like more, doesn't it?
Cause, probably.
Because I remember Shortsy was on the phone, and then the lady said, usually it's 3 months ahead of time.
Damn.
And I think we did it 4 months ahead of time, maybe longer.
Yeah.
But she still obviously took down our reservation. And it's definitely not the fanciest restaurant I've been to.
Yeah, I think we both thought it was going to be super fancy.
Yeah.
It's not. I saw a kid in a Pirates jersey.
Exactly. There was no dress code for the restaurant. Yeah. Obviously, there was probably a recommended dress code, but not required.
I don't think so. Not going to lie. I think it was a normal restaurant.
That's why. But like, you expect to maybe wear like I don't know, button-down shirt at least, and, you know, nice clothing.
Yeah, we got some drinks to start. I got one called Meet Your Maker, which came with a glass cube door, smoke pouring out. It was delicious. My reaction, literally, I didn't even drink it. Put it up to my nose, and the smell hit, and it was amazing. Great drink. You got a mocktail.
Yeah, I forgot the name of it, but I think it was something like Red Hell's Kitchen or something, but basically a mocktail had like red candied syrup and strawberry what was that, club soda, I think, as well. So yeah,
it was bomb.
Yeah, it was very good. Ginger, I believe, as well, but still very good drink.
Yeah,
obviously I'm not like a big drinker, but it was nice to indulge.
Yeah. And then the food, I got his trademark item. From what I was told, he literally invented it, the beef Wellington. Delicious. So much flavor. Hits you right away. Hits every taste bud. So good. You got salmon.
That's right. I unfortunately couldn't eat meat Thursday and Friday because of Lent. So I decided to go with the only fish option on the entrees. So that's what I went with, the crispy salmon. Surprisingly, even though it probably wasn't, you know, like, you know, looks wise amazing, the taste was obviously there.
Yeah.
And I was a big fan. Obviously, I love fish as well. Salmon is very good. I also ordered a side of baked mac and cheese. And that was spectacular.
Love to hear it, especially for the prices of all that food. I'm probably not going back. It's just like the experience, the one time. And then unless you got big money, there's no reason to go back.
Yeah. Overall, it wasn't as expensive as I first thought when we first heard about the restaurant. Mm-hmm. You know, doesn't cost an arm and a leg, but it's not something you know, would typically go to, like, you know, every day. But
what I loved even more is they were all for the content.
Oh, yeah.
They told me to set up shots. They were like, oh, you might want to film this.
Yeah, the waiter and then the other waitress.
Who brought me my dessert.
Your dessert. Yeah, that's right. She said, let me know when you're ready.
My coconut three ways. That's what it was called. And it was in a legit coconut. With coconut ice cream, coconut shavings, and coconut croutons, and it was delicious. She did some dry ice effect on it. I had no knowledge of my drink or my dessert having a show.
Yeah, presentation.
It just happened to be that way. Those were the things that I ordered. Those were both delicious. It was a great experience, and I got nothing but positive things to say about Hell's Kitchen.
And what do we do after Hell's Kitchen?
I went to an escape room. What did you do?
Caesar's Palace, remember?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Gambling. The escape room, I'm not going to dive into it too much. It wasn't that crazy. I'm not going to lie.
And usually we love escape rooms, too.
Yeah.
I didn't partake in it, by the way.
For how much it was and for... It was Saw-themed. I felt like a letdown, not going to lie. But yes, gambling. Obviously, Vegas. Huge aspect of the city. I don't gamble. I don't like to. I don't like playing with my money. He loves gambling.
Love is an understatement.
He would marry gambling at the sight if he could.
If I could.
Yes. So, how much money did you bring to Vegas?
$2,000.
Now, how much money did you leave with?
1600.
So you lost $400.
It's more or less, only because I remember Sam had also asked for money, and because it costs like between $10 to $20 per withdrawal at the ATM.
Yes.
Sam, Shorty's girlfriend, had asked, "Hey, instead of me withdrawing, can I withdraw from you, aka the Bank of Captain America?" And I was like, "Sure. I mean, if it saves you money, I mean, I'd do the same thing if you had, you know, money." So
I mean, what's the logic? What's why? Why?
Because think about it. For like, if she takes out $100 out of the ATMs in Vegas, $10 processing fee or like.
Oh, I didn't know there were processing fees.
Yeah, because it's a third party. It's not like a banking ATM. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So like, if she took out $100, $10. If she took out $20, it still would have been $10. Mm-hmm. So, and so she would Zelle me, and then I'd just give her the money, and there's no fees in it whatsoever. So exactly. So she doesn't lose money and doesn't have to look for an ATM. So more, she took out more or less maybe $300. So more or less, I would say I probably lost about $100. But that last night was great.
I'm not going to lie. I don't think anybody came back positive.
No.
Did Shortsy? I feel like he was the only one.
That
I feel like he did until the last roulette table. Because he was having it bad at the last roulette table.
Was it the one where we all were there together?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's right. Yeah, he did not have a good time.
If anything, he might have barely came away positive. Because that roulette table destroyed him. Like, all the money he did have.
Plus, even if he did end up negative, it wasn't as big of a dent as he thinks it is.
Mm-hmm.
But
I did gamble, though. All the cash I had in my wallet.
Oh, my God.
$3.
Dude. How did you financially recover from
that? Well, you see, I put in $2. I doubled it. Got $4.
Oh, my God.
Felt risky. And lost it all.
Oh, my God. So are you just eating ramen for the rest of the trip?
Sure. Top Ramen. Yeah.
Top Ramen. Okay.
Yeah. I used to be in love with Top Ramen. And then a bunch of ramen places became popular. So I had real ramen. And now I can't stand this cap's mic. Kick the stand under the couch. Nope. Other way. That couch. A little more. Look at the stand. Just look at it. Kick the legs under the couch. There you go. Better, right?
I was trying to place my feet together.
Okay. Sorry. A little technical malfunction that is still currently.
I think we're good.
Okay.
I just can't move anymore.
Anyways. Yes. Used to really like Top Ramen. Then had real ramen. And now I can't stand Top Ramen. Doesn't hit the same. That's all the quick little rant I wanted to go on.
Yeah. One of my favorite gamblings events that we did together was right after Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah.
If you remember, we went to Caesar's Palace. Mm-hmm. We went to a roulette wheel right next to the sports book. Mm-hmm. And I told you, like, hey, you know what? We got a little time before your escape room. Let's decide to gamble a little bit because, you know, we were filming some stuff for you. And then I told you, of course, like, hey, if we go to Hell's Kitchen and go to Caesar's Palace, can we at least gamble before your escape room? And you were like, yeah, sure. I'm like, okay. So we filmed all your stuff, took all your pictures. And then you'll see in the vlog, he goes, all right, Cap, you can gamble. And I just went.
Yay!
So at the roulette table, I think I put in like $100. I was playing between $10 to $25 a game. And got to the point where I was down to my last 25. And I'm all like, you know what? You know, I turned to this guy because he was sitting next to me. I go, Austin, pick four numbers and I'll pick one. And let's see what it lands on. So can you remind the people what four numbers you chose?
33, 23, 13, and 27.
And I believe I chose 8.
Yep. And 27 hit because Mike Trout has that magic.
Exactly. 27, that's not the only roulette wheel where 27 was hot.
The one where Shortsy got destroyed, 27, I think, hit like 9 out of 15 times.
50.
Yeah. Whatever.
So it landed on 27. So obviously if you hit on a single number, it's a 36 times payout. Mm-hmm. So $5 on 27 turned into $180.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And I was able to turn it into 200, and then that's when I believe I cashed out.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first, I guess, collaborative effort of gambling. Then I did gamble with Shortsy a day or two later.
Mm-hmm.
I think you were there with us for a little bit of that. But the big night of gambling was, I think, the night, Sunday night, right? Where Jeff was there.
don't know.
I think it was Sunday night. It was me, you, Shorts, Sam, and Jeff. We were all sitting at the roulette table.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And that table was in love with 27.
Yeah, and then the stranger in front of us, he was just sitting there just like, you know, just minding his own business.
People should have listened to him, too. As soon as he got there, he said, put it on 12. And it hit 12, the first one.
I know. Wait, the new guy or the older gentleman?
The new guy.
Yeah, the new guy. And I remember it was landing on red so many times because red was hot during that time.
Super hot.
And Shorty goes, it's going to hit on black. It's due.
No.
Maybe only hit once in the next 10 spins. And he kept betting on black. Kept betting on black. And
he lost everything that he gained from the weekend.
Exactly. And then he put in his own $100, I believe, to try and get it back. And I think he did it all in one spin where, like, I'm doing $100. If I lose, I'm done. If I win, I'm back to being even and, you know, I'm cashing out.
Don't gamble.
Yeah. Overall, that night I turned 100 into 500, and Jeff kept pressuring me, take out, just cash out at 200, cash out 250.
Jeff was there, by the way.
Yeah. he also lost money.
It was the most random.
Yeah,
Jeff, I'm gonna be honest, if you're listening, I don't know why you went. I'm happy you were there.
Me too.
I but was very like happy. Showed up Saturday night, was there Sunday.
Yep.
And left Monday?
At some point Monday, yes.
Yeah, man, I would have stayed home.
Hey, but you know, it was nice. Our friend.
Yeah, even though we spent like 3 hours with them total. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I slept with him, so.
Well, okay.
In the same room.
So let's move on to WrestleMania.
In the same room, let me clarify.
We're going to go to WrestleMania Saturday, and we're going to give our thoughts on each match. Our kickoff was Jey versus Gunther. So obviously, that match came together because Jey won the Rumble, and then there was supposed to be this whole buildup of, oh, if you pick me, I'm going to make your life hell, and didn't really feel like that. The buildup kind of sucked until he murdered Jimmy.
Oh, yeah. That's where business started to pick up.
Mm-hmm. It started to feel heated. Match itself, definitely not a technical masterpiece.
No.
Jey Uso himself is not a technical masterpiece wrestler.
No.
He has, I would say, the five moves of doom like Cena.
Like, super kick is super up there. Kick,
frog splash, spear.
Samoan.
Hip toss into the corner where they throw their butt at him. Samoan drop.
That's what it was, yeah.
It's about
entertaining,
the whole
by the way.
Repertoire.
Entertaining.
The match?
No, him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeet. Yeet. Yeah. He's got the whole shtick, the whole gimmick right. The wrestling,
he's probably not the most best wrestler with the most amount of move sets, but he gets the job done.
He literally used Gunther's moves to beat him.
Yeah,
so it was an okay match.
It was.
I think everybody knew he was going to get that world title. The payoff was finally going to happen. So at most, I would just say it was okay. I'd give it a 5.5 out of 10.
I was going to say just straight up 5.
Yeah.
I do feel bad for Gunther just because I thought it was going to be this huge back and forth where, like, you know, you're going to take me to my limit. I'm going to take you to your limit. Let's see who crosses the finish line first. And it was great to see that Jey made Gunther tap. But
I also feel like he tapped way too early. Quick.
Yeah.
Like, let him lock it in and hold it for a minute.
Like, you remember when Stone Cold passed out instead of tapping out, he passed out? That's what I feel like they could have made for Gunther,
especially when he murdered your brother.
Exactly. Like, make him look strong, at least. Make Gunther look strong. Like, he tapped out on that last submission, what, maybe 20 seconds in, 15?
I was going to say, like, 10.
It wasn't that long. It wasn't that long, so I do feel bad. It did make him look weak, but we'll see if he gets back at that World Heavyweight Championship. But probably not soon, considering what happened at Raw.
Yeah. New Day versus War Raiders. This was the piss break match of the night.
So early in the night.
Yeah, it did feel like that as well. And wasn't a beautiful masterpiece. Wasn't anything crazy.
No stipulations either.
No stipulation. So I'm just going to give this match like a 3 out of 10. There was no build up. Many people were surprised it was even on the card. Yeah, 3 out of 10.
Two out of 10. But I'm hoping that New Day can hopefully revive the tag team division with some great matches now as the champions.
We'll see. Rey Fénix versus El Grande Americano.
Ooh, first ever WrestleMania for El Grande Americano.
Yeah, and Rey Fénix.
And Rey Fénix, that's right. Two Mexican greats.
Yes, late substitution. It was supposed to be Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
And I believe if Rey Mysterio was in it, we would have seen the unmasking of El Grande Americano. Yeah,
that makes sense. Yes. That does make sense. But you know what? El Grande Americano, you know, one of the greatest ever to do it.
One of the best.
And came away victorious. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we get to see more of him on WWE TV.
Yeah, I love seeing that Chad Gable is a huge fan of El Grande
Americano. He is.
He's really supporting him on the weekly shows.
Well, it kind of makes sense because El Grande Americano has tagged with American Made.
Correct.
So, of course, there is that correlation where, they've,
built a friendship.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I'm excited. Hopefully, they get to tag together sometime.
Yeah.
Because I definitely think they could easily be tag team champions at some point.
Easily.
So.
But the match itself, I think it was good.
Obviously,
you got El Grande Americano, one of the greatest high flyers in luchador history.
Mm-hmm. From the Gulf of America.
Yes, Gulf of America. And Rey Fénix, who is the same. He does all kinds of tricks on the ropes. He flies high. They're both very athletic. And I'd give the match 6.5 out of 10.
Yeah, I'd definitely give it a 6 for sure.
Yeah.
Like I said, for being on the fly with Rey Mysterio's injury just the night before on SmackDown, they were really compatible with each other in the ring.
Mm.
You know, I am curious to see how far this cheating will go with El Grande Americano.
Yeah, and his metal eyepiece.
Exactly. So, but yeah, great match, for how it was. It does suck. Rey Fénix's first loss came at Mania, but, great match.
He was on Mania. That's all that matters. Next up, Naomi versus Jade Cargill. This one, great story, great build, and a good match. Jade Cargill pulled out some crazy moves that had me going, whoa, like the one where she turned the... What was it? She turned the fireman's carry into the powerbomb, and I was like, damn. And Naomi, I mean, the character that she has right now, this evil friend, betrayed her two others, she's been rocking it. She's been killing it with that. So I'm going to give their match a 7 out of 10.
I'm going to give it a 6 out of 10, only because, both fantastic athletes in the ring. Mm. But I feel like there's not much after this WrestleMania match. Obviously, the feud has to probably end most likely, unless there's a backlash match.
I'd say Jade Cargill gets a super push to become one of the top people, like Liv, Rhea, Io. Like, they're trying to get her to that level. And Naomi, I think she'll be great for the mid-card. I think she could be the top mid-carder, like going for the U.S. title. And she could be like those higher, like how LA Knight is a higher end mid card guy. I think she'd be perfect right there and can work her way up to possibly being at the top level.
Yeah, I'm excited to see where they put Jade Cargill because, I do agree. She could definitely be a main eventer, but I think they might set her off first at one of those mid card titles. So either US or IC.
I feel like they make her look weak. Unless they have her destroy Chelsea Green, which she should.
Yeah.
If they faced off.
Or Lyra, depending.
Or Lyra. But I think that's a whole Becky story right now. Yeah. So anyway, next up, Jacob Fatu versus LA Knight. This one was, excuse me, who is talking to you, Alexa? Shut up. Anyway. Jacob Fatu versus LA Knight. Obviously, LA Knight has the crowd in the palm of his hand. His whole gimmick has everybody hooked. Jacob Fatu has everybody hooked with what he can do in the ring. A big man that can fly high. Everyone loves that. And he's just a savage. So these two went out there and they put on a banger.
They did.
LA Knight probably had his cleanest match in his whole second run of WWE. He's been known to botch pretty often.
Yeah.
But I didn't really notice anything in this match. He even hit one of the cleanest BFTs I've ever seen when Jacob Fatu jumped off the top rope and then he grabbed him midair and hit it. And I was like, whoa. So I'm going to give this an 8.5 out of 10. I think they both wrestled great. The story wasn't really there. I know they had some run-ins and everything on SmackDown prior, but just the match itself and their two characters, I loved it.
I'd give it a 7.25. Mm-hmm. So it's up there for sure. Obviously, LA Knight, Jacob Fatu. Not as much beef as some of these other matches, but it was enough to create a good match. And the fact that they both put out a really good match overall, Jacob Fatu. I mean, most of us knew that LA Knight was going to drop the title.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to see where they take this with Jacob Fatu and the U.S. title because they've obviously built him as the Samoan werewolf, this unstoppable beast that, you know, if you try to get in his way, you're not making it out alive.
Yeah.
If you remember the match against Braun Strowman at Saturday night's main event, he made him bleed, even though it was a blood capsule. He made him bleed. Obviously, they made him look unstoppable, a monster, ferocious. And hopefully he does get like a world championship at some point. Maybe not WWE champion, but at least the world heavyweight championship.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited to see where this takes Jacob. Maybe creates a feud with Solo down the line. Or because, from what I heard Tama Tonga got hurt, may require surgery. So now half of this Bloodline 2.0 is already on the shelves, so I'm excited to see what they create.
Next up, puts a damper after talking about that match, Charlotte versus Tiffy. The build-up itself, who is talking to you, Alexa? Stop. She just wants to butt into every conversation.
I know, she wants to be part of this podcast.
She acts like she knows wrestling when she doesn't.
Nope, not at all.
Anyways, Charlotte versus Tiffy, their build-up really sucked because Charlotte was destroying her, making Tiffy look little and embarrassing her every single promo. And then it finally got good when it got personal.
Oh, yeah.
They were throwing like real life jabs at each other. And you're like, oh, hold on. Do you guys know that they're about to say that? Or was that on the fly?
Yeah.
So that's when it got interesting. But the one thing that everybody wanted to avoid was Charlotte winning that title. And thank God she didn't.
Thank God.
Yeah. And it looked like she went in there being selfish because she was told she's not going to win the title. So was sandbagging Tiffy, was hitting Tiffy for real, like hard. And
stiff shots.
Yeah, yeah. She got a bumped lip and chipped tooth. And so, yeah, there was definitely some real heat, I believe, between these two. And I'm going to give the match, like, 6 out of 10. I mean, they both are great wrestlers, but I just don't think they work well together. So 6 out of 10.
I'm going to give it 7. I definitely think it was slightly better than what we anticipated because we are used to Charlotte working stiff, sandbagging. Yes. But, Charlotte had a great entrance. Tiffy Time had a great entrance with the Barbie doll box.
Yeah.
And, it was really great to see both women, whether they have real life heat or not.
Yeah.
Go at it on the ring and just basically leave it all in the ring. Mm-hmm. Even though Tiffy did get a chipped tooth, she says she's all good now. I was glad she retained the title because, you know, she deserves to hold it, especially with Charlotte. Charlotte
doesn't need it.
She doesn't. Yeah. She's always pushed to the top.
Yep.
What was that meme? It's
death, taxes, and Charlotte Flair winning titles.
Yeah, basically getting the title, getting re-injured, getting divorced, and then, you know, coming back from injury. Exactly. It was a cycle. So, and she even got roasted on Twitter, if you remember. Good. that meme. And then she goes, now do you want me to talk about your face? And the fan replied, you can say all you want. At least mine's original. So, yeah. Like I said, I'm glad Tiffy retained. My prediction was Charlotte was going to retain or win the championship just because, you know,
that taxes and Charlotte Flair winning world titles.
Exactly. But yep. Tiffy Time on top.
Thank goodness. The main event of night one. Very anticipated.
Oh, yeah.
Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns versus CM Punk. These two all hate each other. They all want the wise man, Paul Heyman. And they put on a great match. You could tell they knew exactly what they had to do that night. They made it look violent. They made it look like it was fueled with hate. And they're all great wrestlers, no matter how old they are, even though they're getting in the twilight years of their careers, they still pull off a masterpiece. And I don't want to go perfect with it, but I'm willing to give it a very high rating of 9.7 out of 10.
Yeah, great match. Main event, night one. CM Punk's first ever main event of WrestleMania.
We can say we saw that.
Exactly. Forever. It was foreshadowed years ago when Heyman and Punk had a dialogue segment in the ring.
I'm going to walk down that ramp with you when you main event WrestleMania.
Exactly. Yep. So basically it was written in the stars so long ago. And obviously each three had their own special entrance. You know, Seth with the flamethrower.
We'll get to that. I'm going to ask from both nights what our favorite entrance was. Okay. So,
To the match, I love how, like, you know, everybody was anticipating such a brawl.
Oh, and it was.
And it was.
Yes.
So it's definitely up there for sure from between both nights. But my personal, I'd probably give it like a 9.5.
Okay.
It wasn't perfect, but it was as close as it can get.
Very good.
It was, yes. It was as close as it can get to perfect.
Mm-hmm. Especially with the story build and the finish. Paul Heyman grabbing the chair. Who's he going to give it to? Punk, his best friend. Roman Reigns, his tribal chief. Slides it to Punk. Boom, low blow. Hey, Roman, look, you can recreate that shield shot. He's set up exactly where you were. Boom, got you, Roman. New Paul Heyman guy, Seth Rollins. Beautiful. And it looks like they're building Evolution 2.0. We're going to get into that in a little bit. But it was very exciting, very good, and great twist. Even though I think all of us saw that coming.
Yeah.
It seems like the IWC, Internet Wrestling Community, or wrestling fans in general, were all very thrown by that. So, love it.
Yeah. Any of those three could have won, and it would have made a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So.
So, favorite match of the night?
I mean, it's kind of
obvious.
I'd say the main event, the triple threat. I agree. Best match of night one.
If I had to give an honorable mention, I'd say...
New Day?
No. I'd say Fatu and LA Knight, probably.
Fatu and LA Knight were great, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, night one was pretty weak. And I also want to address something about night one. I love being a part of a good crowd. I love when we're recognized as a good crowd. I don't know what the deal was with night one. I know it was underwhelming in terms of what was going down on night two. But damn, dude, they did not show up at all. And I addressed that as soon as we got there. Like, when we got there an hour early. There was nobody.
To be fair, I think we did enter on the opposite side. Mm-hmm. Because if you notice, like, on social media and stuff, that there's basically stages.
Where Big E was.
And yeah, all that. Exactly. So we were on the opposite side.
Yeah.
So
but also, I think that's what it was. When we got inside, I even said to you or Shorts, I said, dude, where is everyone? It was empty before. Like, I'm like, dude, people should be in this building already. Especially because we've gone through a WrestleMania. We know what the experience is like. We know what to expect. And I was like, what is up? And then as soon as all the matches started getting into gear, I was like, this crowd is dead. This crowd is so dead. And I heard somebody, I was watching a video, say, oh, I was there and I feel like they mute us on the broadcast. No. He was like trying to say the crowd was lit. I was like, it was night one, it was not lit.
Compared to night two, yeah.
Yeah, no. It was so dead. And that sucks. I wanted to be a part of a good crowd, and I feel like we're good fans when we're in attendance. And yeah, I don't know what the deal was. Nobody was ready to jump into the fire for night one. It was dead, I will admit. And then let's do favorite entrance from night one. I'm going to go Tiffy. She had a great one. It was the big dollhouse with all the Titantrons. Then she had her two other boxes with different outfits of Barbie dolls.
Yep.
And then herself in the middle one. Mm-hmm. Creative, very good use of the Titantrons and the props on stage. I think Tiffy takes it for night one.
For me, I'm going to go with CM Punk.
Okay.
Living Color performing, I believe, for the second time. Second,
yep.
Performing his entrance. And very nice to CM Punk to involve them again for WrestleMania, making sure they get paid as well.
Yep.
And but not only that, but that video package.
This fire burns.
Exactly. That video package. Obviously, it wasn't shown on Netflix or Peacock to those who were watching WrestleMania at home. But
I feel like it was. Was it not?
But in person,
yeah.
The people in Allegiant were singing that song.
I was one of them.
So was I. It just felt like that's the guy that I want to win.
Yeah.
The CM Punk from back in the Straight Edge Society, the guy who was ECW champion, the guy who won Money in the Bank. That man, that's the one I'm rooting for. Obviously, you're rooting for CM Punk today, but CM Punk 10 years ago, 10 years ago.
Worked his ass off to get there.
Exactly. So it was nice to see that CM Punk got the payoff.
He's one of those guys, too, that's shooting 100% with multiple themes. Both of his themes are bangers.
Exactly. I remember, we talked about it on the car ride home. Remember, like, top three theme songs? Like,
yeah.
And I gave both CM Punk's old Kane's and Batista's.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was really nice to see.
Randy Orton, another one of those guys with multiple themes that's shooting 100%.
Exactly.
Both of them batting 1,000. Yeah, batting 1,000. You can say that, numbers. Too.
But, yeah, CM Punk for sure. Like, it was just so nice to see. Like, the child in me was like, reminiscing. Yeah. I was reminiscing. And
yeah.
Favorite night yeah. one.
Sunday night, night two. We kicked it off with Rhea Ripley versus Io Sky versus Bianca Belair. And, of course, you put these three in a ring, they are going to give you a banger.
Create magic.
And I'm not going to lie, a majority of the night was banger after banger after banger.
Sounded like Sheamus over here.
Yeah, that's what I was going for. And that's what they did, and I'm very glad they finally put Io as somebody who can compete with these top wrestlers like Bianca and Rhea. And let her get some respect. And that's exactly what happened. She held her own. She retained her title in a triple threat at WrestleMania. She's always been very talented, and it's nice to see that spotlight shown on her in that way. So for this match, I would give it a 9, a flat 9.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely up there for sure. I would give it a 9 as well. Mm. I feel like originally they were going to give the title to Io, obviously, to enter WrestleMania as champion. But they realized that the crowd loves her, and the fact that, you know, she could hold her own weight. She's a fantastic wrestler out inside the ring. And they probably thought better yet, you know what? Let's have her hold the title because of how great she works, not only in the ring, but how much the crowd loves her.
Yeah.
Bianca Belair is obviously another fantastic wrestler. She's, I guess, the heel in this match, which is kind of crazy. Which
was created by the crowd.
Exactly.
She was not supposed to be the heel.
She was not, but obviously somebody had to be the bad guy in this scenario. Rhea Ripley, obviously, we all know her accolades, her style of wrestling, and how much the fans love her. So she was obviously the other favorite to win as well.
Yeah.
Like I said, 9 out of 10. Great match overall. Everybody complimented each other so well in the ring. Magic in the ring. Yep. And, yeah, it Hot take. It might be, personally, my favorite match of the night.
It's a contender, for sure. Next up, Damian Priest versus Drew McIntyre in a Sin City street fight. This match needed a stipulation with how much hate they were giving the weeks before, and it came out there with a banger. We got tables, we got steel steps, we got chairs, we got weapons and fun and domination. We got Drew with another mid-match tweet. We all knew it was coming immediately. Oh, yeah. Takes the selfie with Damian. Me and Cap both go on our phones, refreshing Drew's Twitter until it popped up. And, yep, bored at work again. I love LOL. It. Yeah, I love it. He literally won Social Media Superstar of the Year, and he's building his case for the next Slammy. And thank God Drew won, because Drew, in my opinion, is a very good superstar who keeps getting screwed over. And if he lost, it would have been like the ultimate Barry. So the fact that he won this match, I think, is very good for him. And I'd give it a solid 8 out of 10.
I'd give it a 7 out of 10. Great match. Both wrestlers, obviously, had a nice buildup. Obviously, both hating each other. I was a little surprised because the fact that they made Drew was going hunting after each Bloodline member, if you remember.
Yeah.
And then it just went away.
Yep.
So, but it was nice to see them, I guess, revisit the feud 1 year later from WrestleMania 40, where Damian Priest took away the World Heavyweight Championship from Drew McIntyre.
Even though they didn't even add any substance of that to this match, did they?
Yeah. I guess a little bit, but like, I think it was just mentioned where like, oh, you took what was mine away from me when I had my back turned or, you know, so, but yeah, I mean, technically it was a rematch, even though it was a cash in. But, yeah, great match. Obviously, both big meaty men slapping meat. And, obviously, violence was involved. And, obviously, the social media tweet.
Yeah,
great match overall. Yeah, Drew won. Was obviously the right decision. Yeah. 7 out of 10.
All right. AJ versus Logan Paul. This one, I feel like, could have been better. The story was not great going up to it. It's just kind of like, hey, I don't like you.
Exactly,
That was about it. And, yeah, I don't really have much to say. I mean, they're both good wrestlers. They both kind of just did their job. Nothing crazy. I'd give it probably a 6 out of 10.
I'd give it a 6.5 out of 10. Obviously, Logan Paul, social media star, AJ Styles, tenured vet in the wrestling world. Yeah, there wasn't much to it. Obviously, if you, who's that comedian? Andrew
Schultz.
Andrew Schultz was part of it when there was that in New York. And then, of course, they had the show in London where Logan Paul was the one who beat up AJ Styles. It was an okay match. Obviously, both great in the ring. But I love that they added Karrion Kross in there somehow, considering he's, I believe he's...
From Vegas.
From Vegas. And yeah, the fact that he at least got to be on the show. I was very happy for that. And I'm excited to see what they build up for him now, because if you remember, I told you and Shorts, get ready for this guy, Karrion Kross, because he's going to be on the come up. I remember you were like, okay. But Shorts was like, this guy sucks.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to see what Karrion Kross has in store for the WWE Universe.
We will see.
I'm excited.
Next, we have the women's tag team titles. It was Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez versus Lyra and supposed to be Bayley. It was clearly a write-off. Oh, Bayley got injured.
Yeah.
She was fine. She was 100% healthy. But somebody was returning, and now Lyra had this mystery tag team partner. Everyone knew who it was. Becky Lynch was back.
Yep. Finally made her return.
Yeah, finally came back, made her return. Big pop. Crowd was into it. But like I said, Bayley really has nothing wrong with her at the end of the day. It kind of sucked for her. But yeah, Becky comes back. They win the titles, which shocked me. And they look like they were going to have like this, oh, we're both Irish run or whatever. And yeah, not so fast. You go to Raw after Mania and they already lose them.
Yeah.
So we'll get into that once we get to Raw after Mania. But yeah, another match that was kind of hard to sink your teeth into. I think I'd give it a 6 out of 10 again.
I mean, we're pretty similar in numbers. I was floating between 5 and 6. I'll go down the middle, 5.5. Mm. Obviously, it was great that Becky Lynch, the man, finally came back. It was rumored that she re-signed in January, but then you hear just a couple weeks ago where she was like, oh, basically retired. So nobody really knew for sure. But it was great to see her back in the ring, tag teaming with Lyra.
Yeah.
I was shocked that Liv and Raquel lost the titles because I did not expect them to, like, you know, lose it. I thought it'd be, you know, retaining at some point.
Especially with the result of Raw after Mania.
Exactly.
Which, like I said, we'll talk about.
Which makes sense, obviously, in retrospect.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, not much. Lyra, obviously, everybody's good in the ring.
Yeah.
Liv Morgan's attire, by the way.
That Mania attire.
That one had me barking.
Yeah, she continues to wow me.
Yeah, she had me barking like that dog video we always send to each other. But yeah, I give it a 5.5. You know, everybody's great in their own way, but just the way it went out, it was okay.
All right, we got three left. The Fatal 4-Way for the IC title: Dominic Mysterio, Penta, Finn Balor, and Bron Breakker. I said it was obvious from the beginning, with this being a Fatal 4-Way match, that Braun was losing because they cannot have him lose in a singles match. It would make him look weak. So you put three other guys in there, then he can lose it. And clearly we know why they had him lose it. We'll talk about that. But yeah, I said it from the beginning, before we even hit the road, the Dom will pin Finn, and it's going to create even more internal fuel in Judgment Day. It's exactly what happened. Very happy for Dom, seeing somebody who's been in this business since he was literally a kid, who was literally fought for as a kid.
20-year vet, by the way. Don't forget that.
20-year vet, technically, yeah. He now has his first main roster gold, and love to see it right there, winning the IC title. Everybody in that match was great. It was very entertaining. Everybody had a moment. And I'd love to see Dom walking away with his WrestleMania moment.
Yeah, which you'll see in this picture.
I can't wait to talk about all these photo ops.
But so. Yeah, him holding the gold. That was cool to see, by the way. Yeah. Him holding the gold.
Yeah.
But back to the match. Fatal 4-Way. I originally predicted Penta to win only because I wanted him to win.
Yeah.
Your story, along with Shorty, you both agree that Dom should win. Made a lot of sense.
Yeah. You were trying to spin some logic.
I was trying so hard because I wanted Penta to win.
Yeah, you're like, listen, if this happens.
Exactly.
And we're both like, that ain't going to happen.
I mean, as the night went on, it made more sense for Dominic to win. But everybody had a spotlight at some point in the match. Dominic obviously winning it all. Finn and Dominic, you know, realizing they were both going after each other.
Braun spearing Carlito from announcer table to announcer table.
Oh, poker tables too. Like
the, yeah, they were like poker style blackjack tables.
LeBron Breaker, obviously fantastic athlete.
Yep.
And Penta, obviously in his own right as well, great luchador. Great match, really, really great match. Obviously, they did it well. Obviously, like you said, Penta had to lose, or not Penta, sorry.
Braun
Breaker had to lose the title. Obviously, if you're gonna build them up, you gotta lose that title
to make propel them bigger.
Like they like what they did with Gunther last year.
Yep.
He lost the IC title, and then he got propelled to the World Heavyweight Championship. Title.
Yeah.
Did you give your rating?
No. 8 out of 10.
That was literally gonna be my same number too. But yeah, 8 out of 10. Great match. Everybody did great in their own right.
Yeah. Next up, Randy Orton versus surprise opponent. It was supposed to be Kevin Owens. Fortunately, he went down with a real life neck surgery. Was not able to compete anymore at WrestleMania. Randy Orton, thank God, said, "I'm not missing Mania," because I really wanted to see Randy. I had never seen him. Also got to see Penta for the first time, so that was a good payoff, because we thought we were going to see him Raw debuting on Netflix. They pushed it to San Jose
the next week.
Yeah, for some reason. So it was nice to see Penta. So good to see Randy, especially with how hot he is with the crowd right now. Everybody singing his theme. The show of his entrance and everything. The talented wrestler that he is. And we were left wondering, who's he going to face? We were thinking, okay, it could be the guys that are rumored to come back. Rusev, Malakai Black. But you didn't want them to come back and eat an L.
Exactly.
Right away. So it was like, okay. And plus, to me, they're not like, I know who they are. I remember them. But like, they're not crazy enough to be a surprise opponent.
Plus, Malakai Black is already rumored to show up, I think, in probably SmackDown. Yeah. Exactly. And Rusev was just rumored to have signed at the time.
Yeah.
But I mean, like you literally just said, why bring him back to lose?
Yeah.
It didn't make sense.
Yeah. And then I was trying to think of legends, because he's the legend killer. I couldn't really think of anybody.
Yeah.
Like, Stone Cold did appear that night. And by the way, Shawn Michaels did night one. So that was awesome to see their themes. But they're both, like, at the point where they're like, yeah, we're not getting in the ring in our gear anymore. Like, we're not going for a match. So they weren't even in my head. And there's, like, nobody that's, like, recent enough to where they might get back in. And there's everybody else's way past to where you could even think about it. So it's like, dude, there's like not even any legends on the table that you could throw in there. And you said Joe Hendry.
Hendry was one of the rumored names.
Yeah.
But literally, like I said, apparently it was also rumored that Speed was in Las Vegas. So Speed could have been in that match.
People would have hated that.
Yeah. But it turned out to be
Joe Hendry. And I loved it.
Oh, yeah. It made the most perfect sense. After the match, I literally told you it was the perfect person.
It is. It literally is. Because one, he wrestles in TNA. Who has a connection with WWE right now, but it is its own entity. It is its own company. And if he takes an L, what does that affect him in WWE? It doesn't, because he's not a superstar on their roster, signed full-time or anything like that. And he already has built this character, this whole meme, this love to the wrestling fans, that people will know who he is, a majority, and they'll enjoy it. Unless you're somebody who doesn't like fun, like Shortsy, who hated it. I thought it was great getting to see Joe Hendry, not only for the first time, but at a place like WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And as soon as I saw the Titantron do the, I was like, oh, shit. And I love how creative they got with it. Like, obviously, he held his own. It wasn't entirely a squash match. It's like seconds. Just
one-sided.
It's like seconds.
And one-sided. Yeah.
Yeah, like it'll go like 30 seconds.
It was like a what, 5-minute match?
Yeah, it was a decent match. Like, it was. He got some time in, and he let him have his moment too, picked him up, said, hey, look, bro, look where you are. Look where you've made it. And then he hit him with the, hey, all right, I'm going to do my thing, and then boom, RKO, 1-2-3 or whatever.
Which was perfect.
Yeah, and then Randy did it too, except he had his little twist with his emote. And yeah, it was great. I thought it was fun, and it was exactly the person that needed to face Randy. He could take an L. He'd be fine. The crowd would love it, a majority. And let's just say 2 out of every 3 people.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Yeah, it was a great match. Obviously, like I said, it was the perfect guy. From what I'm hearing is that Randy Orton actually chose him.
Good.
He's a fan of the shtick. He's a fan of the personality.
Good.
And obviously, you know, Joe Hendry, I also heard on Reddit that somebody asked him, like, oh, man, I wish you were wrestling at WrestleMania. And he said, never say never. And, of course, literally hours later from that Sunday meet and greet to WrestleMania.
Plus, he was there as a WWE photo op and autograph.
Yeah.
So
it was great to see him. Personally, it wasn't like the best match, but it was definitely one of the more entertaining ones of the night. Mm. I'm giving it 8 out of 10.
I'll give it a 7 out of 10. It was a good match, and it was a good surprise. So, yeah. And now, the main event.
Ooh.
Has its greatness, but it also has a dark light on it. John Cena versus Cody Rhodes. This was basically the reason.
You mean that guy?
Yeah, this guy right here. I'll put photos up when we talk about all this. But anyways, yeah, this was basically the reason I wanted to be at this WrestleMania. John Cena announced a retirement tour last year, said every pay-per-view will be his last Elimination Chamber, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, Money in the Bank, all the last time. So I said, I got to be there. And hopefully it'll be for the title. And it was against Cody Rhodes. He turned heel. Didn't expect that at all.
Nobody did.
Nobody. But he goes in as a heel. And he gives us nothing. Titantron just says John Cena, white letters, black screen, and he's just there for business. And I'm sorry, Rock, but if you're going to commit to a damn story, finish the damn story. I was expecting to see him. I think everyone was. And instead, we only got Travis Scott.
Fine.
No, stop.
Yeah.
I was very disappointed in that. The Rock literally said in an interview, oh, that was Cena's moment. I want him to have that moment. I want to steal it from him. But Travis Scott shows up? Dog, people wanted you to be a part of that moment. He's your henchman, your champion. Don't say that shit and not show. Stupid, frustrating. But then I also think about it from something Cena has said. You get nothing. I'm here to ruin wrestling. With all the reactions we're getting from fans, I would say that's ruining wrestling.
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of what they were aiming for and kind of what they want. Like, hey, he said he's going to ruin wrestling and you're all pissed off. Sounds like he's ruined wrestling.
Yeah.
So I think it kind of works hand in hand. Like, yes, it's not what we want. Okay, we got what we wanted because he did win the 17th title, made history. Most all time in WWE. That's awesome. I'm so happy I was there and saw it in person. But I wish it went down a better way. But like you said, he's there to ruin wrestling. And the match itself definitely was not spectacular.
No.
Cena has become slower in the ring. Has become...
He's 46.
I know, but I'm not going to lie. I thought for somebody who's always been in this good of shape, he'd still have some juice. Doesn't look like he has much juice left.
Well, you also have to remember the way he moved in the ring. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the opposite of what you expect. You know, you typically see the five moves of doom and then, you know,
he was doing some crazy stuff.
He was literally, his moveset was something almost you've never seen before.
Yep.
And remember, he said he doesn't owe us a damn thing.
Nope.
And so he went out on business for himself and he did what nobody really expected, including the movesets.
Yep.
And that was insane.
And I love how he hit all the heel moves that he refused to do back in the day. He low-blowed Cody. Mm-hmm. He hit Cody with the title. He removed the turnbuckle. He knocked out the ref. All these things he refused to do when he was babyface. He pleaded Cody. Don't hit me with the title. Don't hit me, please.
I'm sorry.
That then gets that low blow in. Yeah. Hits him with the title. And I'm not going to lie, because in wrestling, especially in the main event, there's a clock. There's always a time. And usually with pay-per-views, it's 3 hours. So we're all looking at the clock. We're like, oh, there's about 20 minutes left. They're going to cook in this main event. Hits Cody in the face with the title, pulls the ref in. 1, 2, 3. I did not think it was going to end right there. I was totally thrown off. And there was still about 20 minutes left of what we would think would be the show.
Exactly, so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that ending right there. I remember if you've seen the vlog too, because I saw it when you went back on film. Mm-hmm. Our faces when the three count went through, mm-hmm. our eyes widened. We were like, "That's the finish."
Yeah,
was that the finish? Because we all knew Cena was winning.
Yeah,
I mean, you'd be dumb if you thought Cody was gonna win.
Yeah,
but the fact that he hit Cena hit Cody with the title. And then the ref came in, 1, 2, 3. The second we all heard that three and the bell ring, we were just shocked, like, that was the finish. Yeah. We were expecting, of course, The Rock to show up, so that's why it threw us a little bit off guard.
And now, in hindsight, I think we should have known The Rock wasn't going to show when Stone Cold came out for the attendance. Mm-hmm. Because I had built up in my mind that Stone Cold was going to be Cody's help when The Rock came to help Cena. And the fact that he went out earlier to announce the attendance basically expelled the fact that he was not going to be in the main event, and that should have told me that Rock wasn't going to be in the main event either. So yeah, but I'd give the match a 7 out of 10. Obviously the history of it all, how much I am a fan of John Cena, but bad ending and not the best performance in the ring. He still hit him with some pretty crazy stuff, the AA off the top rope. I think he had a Hurricane Rana at one point. Mm-hmm. Like, so yeah, a 7 out of 10.
I'd give it a 7.5, a little bit better only because, you know, you had the celebrity aspect, even though a lot of people weren't big fans of Travis Scott.
Yeah.
I did like, the interference there, because at least there was some type of interference in there.
I wish it just would have been a WWE superstar.
Exactly.
I kind of hate that the 17th title is always going to be tied to Travis Scott interfering.
But, yeah, I'd give it a 7.5. Great, unsuspecting finish. And then the way that Cena just stood there and celebrated.
I loved how he was laughing when Travis Scott came out. He was just sitting in the ring like
smiling. Yeah, I remember seeing that.
You're fucked.
And, yeah, Cena did busted out a bunch of moves. Mm. Different moves that we all are not used to seeing come from him.
Yeah.
Cody Rhodes obviously tried his best, but we knew that, you know, the fact that he wasn't even showing up on the Raw after Mania
was
another hit. Yeah. It was another hint at the obvious being seen.
Okay, so there we go. Let's do favorite match of that night. This one doesn't have us go straight to the main event because other people cooked on this night.
Yep.
I am going to go with the Fatal 4-Way for the IC title. The payoff, the four guys in the match all did great. So, yeah, the Fatal 4-Way.
I'm going to go with the Triple Threat.
Okay.
Triple Threat for the Women's World Championship. Mm-hmm. Great match. All three wrestlers, all great in their own right. And they made magic in the ring.
Yeah. And let's do favorite entrance of the night. I'm not going to lie, I'm looking at all the people. It's not that strong for entrances. Rhea just came out with a headset that is...
Bones, right?
It's supposed to copy the Batman Who Laughs comic. Mm. It looks just like it. EO just came out normally as EO. Bianca had the dancers again and girls jump roping. She's done something similar in the past. Damien and Drew. Drew just came out in really dope attire and had like a rock soldier dude at the front. I'm going to hold my opinion on Damien's because I might be choosing Damien. I'm not going to lie. AJ's normal. Logan had a drone. Liv and Raquel, normal. Lyra had dope entrance gear.
Yeah.
Nothing really crazy with her whole presentation, though. Becky came out. Dom, normal. Penta, normal. Finn, normal. Braun, normal. Like, nothing special, really. Randy, normal. Cena, evil. Cody had like this evil Knievel vibe going on with the dirt bikers going across the stage. But I mean, didn't really wow me. So I think I'm going to go with Damien. Damien had a sick guitar intro to start him off. It sounded really badass live. He's got all the fire and everything to make him look like this evil monster. So yeah, I'm going to go with Damien.
You know, contrary, I'm actually going to go with Cena.
Okay.
Cena.
I can understand why somebody would pick it.
Yeah. Cena's the opposite of what we're all used to.
Yep.
Literally something that you could whip up on Photoshop or Microsoft Paint in like 5 seconds.
Yeah.
And
for the Titantron.
Exactly. The Titantron. And then, of course, he had the towel.
Yeah, I will say him. The shot looked badass of where it was the camera was behind him holding the town. It was just darkness in the crowd because they darkened all the lights. All you could see was cell phone lights. It did look sick.
Yeah. Plus, you could see on that shot there was a little WrestleMania patch. Mm-hmm. That card's going to be a one of one.
Yeah.
As long as
like how they do
with Topps
rookie patches exactly. For MLB players.
So that's something obviously I'm looking forward to. Can you imagine pulling that one of one Cena or that one of one Punk, Roman, whatever?
Yeah.
Karrion Kross. but yeah, back to the question at hand. I'm going to go with Cena. Yep. It was just the opposite of what you expect, and I loved it. He's really going into this character.
Yeah. Next up, we'll do it really quick because I really want to talk about all this.
Yeah.
But the Raw after Mania, I went home on Monday. You stayed and went to the Raw after Mania. What was your favorite part?
Favorite part? Oh, man. Let's see. The Penta match was great. The Liv match was also great. But I'd probably go with the opening segment of Cena and then Orton. I was talking with the fan who sat next to me. I think his name was Ariel from Israel. Great, great guy. We chatted up a little bit. You know that secret in wrestling where, like, oh, when a bunch of people in hoods come out to outside the ring to fix the ring apron, whatever, whatever. I was telling him, doesn't happen all the time. But usually when that happens, somebody sneaks in there and hides under the ring. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it happens all the time, but, you know, it's something to be on the lookout for. He's like, okay, okay. Obviously, Cena opens the night and talks, you know, his promo about the dates and everything. And then Randy Orton comes out from under the apron, under the ring, RKO Cena. And I looked at him and I said, it happened.
Yeah.
That was great. But honorable mention, I'll give the last segment of the night as well. That one with Evolution 2.0. Mm-hmm. That was
it. I will say before we dive into that, because I do want to talk about that mainly, but the women was also great. That the NXT one, superstars interfering.
Yeah, it's hard for me to even pick one moment because I was going to go into that one as well. Stephanie Vaquer versus Io Sky. A dream match. They've obviously, I believe they've wrestled before in Japan. But the fact that I got to see that in person.
And then Julia getting in there.
Roxanne getting in there. Exactly. All that Rhea. Was missing was Dakota Kai and
Kathy Kelly
and Cora Jade. But yeah.
It looks like they're building Evolution 2.0.
Yeah, Evolution 2.0. Overall, the night was great.
If you're not familiar, Evolution, back in the early 2000s, built on the shoulders of Triple H, Ric Flair. Then they brought in Batista and Randy Orton, created this super faction. They all had gold. What Randy had, the IC title.
Batista and Ric Flair had the tag team titles, and Triple H had the
world title. Became just as dominant faction as, like, we're taking everything. And Seth said for years he's going to burn it down. He took Paul Heyman from Roman Reigns and CM Punk. He got them together now, and you're like, oh, he's going to be this new Paul Heyman guy? He was already so over, and now he's got Paul Heyman. He'll be super over. And then, you know, Roman and Punk come out there to try and fight him, and somebody interferes. Braun Breaker.
When I saw that spear and him in the hoodie, the second he took off that hoodie, the crowd erupted, and we're like, oh, my God. Braun Breaker, obviously losing the IC title, you had to project them upwards, and that's exactly where he went.
So if you put everybody into the roles of the first Evolution, Seth is Triple H.
Yep.
Braun Breaker's Batista.
Yeah, it looks like it. Yeah.
And I don't know if they'll make like Paul Heyman Ric Flair.
He's the mouthpiece normally. Yeah,
because it kind of sounds like from what I'm seeing in the internet world that they're not going to have two more guys come. It'll be one more. And I guess that would, by default, make Paul Heyman Ric Flair because, you know, they're both older. And I know Rick was wrestling when he was Evolution.
But he was still the
older
the senior. Dad of the group. Yeah.
And so, if that's the case, you got Paul Heyman. Leaves room for one more guy. So who would that one more guy be? Obviously, it'd be somebody young who they're ready to put a jetpack on.
Yep, on the up and coming.
Mm-hmm. And I got one that kind of fits a similar bill. Of Randy Orton, who is that character that is missing?
Let's say it at the same time, yeah?
Okay, I wonder if we'll match.
I think we will.
I don't know.
One, two, three, then we say it.
All right.
One, two, three. Carmelo Austin Theory. Hayes. Really? Austin? So he's going to break off of A-Town Down Under?
Randy Orton, yes. First of all, A-Town Down Under is terrible. It is. It never caught fire. The hottest thing about it was they were waiting for Austin Theory to turn on Grayson Waller, which never happened.
Yet.
And they've seen potential with him, even though it was more of a Vince project. Mm-hmm. I do think he fits that cocky asshole, the handsome-looking guy that thinks he can have whatever he wants, which is what Randy Orton was when he was in Evolution. And I think that fits the bill for Austin Theory right now, especially when you put him in a powerhouse group like this. This is where he could finally get his foot in the door to the next step. And I see what you mean with Carmelo Hayes, too. He was my next option.
Yeah.
He could easily do the same role, same kind of thing, and I could see him being that next guy. But when will he be the next guy is the question.
He's been pushed around so many times, and the fact that he's now in this tag team with The Miz.
Yeah.
What was the name of their tag team? It was something ridiculous. But Oz Him?
No.
It was like Oz Him.
Melodome Miz
or Oz Him. It was one of the two.
Melodome Miz, because it's like Melodome Miss, Miz.
So, yeah, Carmelo Hayes, NXT champion. He held the title for a while before Trick Williams took it away. But he's such a fantastic wrestler, Carmelo Hayes. Like, he's talented in the ring. He can talk on the mic.
Yeah.
And plus, he could be that young cat to learn from someone like Seth and, you know, speak well with Paul Heyman. And, of course, you got, you know, the brute force of LeBron Breaker. So, I'm not saying your option is dumb, because you obviously made a great pick. And your example.
Carmelo Hayes, to me, was just, like, the number one answer. I was just, like, I started to think of other wrestlers. I was, like, yeah, Hayes makes the most sense. But, like, let me pick somebody who could also make sense.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm sticking with Carmelo. I'm excited to see what happens. Maybe there's a backstage segment where, like, you see Paul Heyman standing there and then Carmelo Hayes walks by or something. They interact.
I'm going to guess whoever it is gets revealed at Backlash.
Yeah. It's going to be the tag team match of Punk and Roman versus Seth and LeBron Breaker. And, yeah, I think, yeah, it's going to definitely be an interference run where... Yeah. They come in a hoodie, and then they eventually get revealed. So I'm excited to see who it is.
Yep, and we could be all wrong. Maybe there is no new member.
Or it could be a girl or a woman. Could. That's what I've been hearing. Becky Lynch might be in there. Who knows? Like I said, who knows? But, yeah, I'm excited to see who the reveal will be at Backlash.
All right, so now let's talk about this. I've been waiting to talk about this.
Me too.
WWE World, the experience overall. I'll start with the Superstore. I did that, and I don't know if I would ever do that again. I waited in that line to get into a store, a superstore, for about 50 minutes. It sucked. And I did come away with some stuff. I came away with Frosted Yeats. I thought that was funny. They were cheap enough to where I was like, okay, it'd be a fun little thing to have in the office. I should have put it over here, but I have a mini WrestleMania football helmet. The t-shirt that I'm wearing right now, I bought from there. I have the I Was There WrestleMania t-shirt as well. A magnet on my fridge with the WrestleMania logo. And that's everything I got at the Superstore. And then we just had WWE World itself, where you have all these photo ops to meet basically any of the wrestlers you want. Autograph sessions as well. You did, what, like 9 total, maybe? 8, something like that?
About 8, I would say.
Yeah. So let's start with the ones we did together. We did Dominic Mysterio. I'll put it on screen. Okay. You're good. Dominic Mysterio.
That was a fun interaction. Yes,
that was a really fun one. We were always talking for every wrestler, like, okay, what are we going to do? What's the pose? Like, how are we going to take this picture? And for Dom, we were actually for Dom and Cena, because those were the two we bought that had a title on the line at Mania. They were like, okay, they could have the title when we take a photo with them. So we're like, if he has the title, what do we do? So Cap came up with the idea, what if we hold each strap like from each end and he's in the middle? Well, that'd be dope.
Yeah.
And so we were watching him, and even though it was kids, he was putting the title on their shoulder. So I felt more confident. I was like, hey, well.
Yeah, you tap me on the shoulder like, hey, he's letting them hold it. Yeah. Like, I think we should be fine.
I'm like, they're kids. Yeah, okay. But like, I mean, if he's putting it on them, like, why not?
Right.
So we go up. We both say, congrats, man. He's like, oh, thanks. And then there was that window right before we start to pose where I'm like, hey, could we hold the title from both ends? And he goes, fuck no.
The immediate response is so funny.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, okay, okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, like, no, no, like no, it didn't hurt sense. My feelings asking or anything.
Yeah, no, no, makes sense, man. And yeah, he was like, I just want it. You guys want to take it from me?
Yeah, we're that
like,
was funny.
Like, yeah, no, 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 makes sense. Yeah.
But yeah, at the end, I tapped him on the arm and I said, hey, man, thanks for representing SoCal. And what did he say? Like,
I got you, boys.
Exactly. So yeah. that was a fun interaction there alone.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The other one we did together, or two others.
John
Cena. RVD.
Yep. Oh, sorry.
Just flip it around. There it is. You'll see it on screen, obviously, as well. That one was a little bit interesting, only because of what we heard before the photo op.
Van Damme?
Yeah, remember? We're like, somebody said, like, yeah, he's showing up in a wheelchair.
Somebody warned us prior that he'd be in a wheelchair.
And we were like, oh, why? And he got hurt, obviously.
Facing Matt Riddle.
Yeah.
Some other event.
So that one was kind of interesting, too, because he was obviously sitting on a high chair.
Yeah.
And
I felt bad for him.
Yeah.
Because he sounded very NPC when we were going through the line. He basically was like, hey, nice to meet you. Yep, Rob Van Dam, you know it. Let's do it. Van Dam. Okay, see you later. Yep, that's me, RVD.
Like, he hit all the sound bites.
I'm literally like, I feel bad, bro. Like, but yeah, he was really cool, I guess.
Yeah, that was the
quickest one.
Yeah, for the sure. quickest one. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right, because that was the last one we ever took at WWE World.
Yeah, it was definitely the fastest, like, all right, get your pick, go.
We were like...
Not on him, though, on the workers.
Yeah,
obviously
not, yeah, and then, but, which is funny, too. Yeah. But then the biggest one that we took together... Juan Chena.
Yeah, that one was great.
Yeah.
Obviously, I got to meet my childhood idol, and I went up to him first, and I shook his hand and said, hey, man, you're the GOAT. And he goes, oh, you're too kind.
Like, yeah, that one, I bought it when it was announced, and obviously a long queue. But I decided, you know what, bro? I think these guys would appreciate it. I remember telling Shorty in line, bro. I remember telling him, hey, man, happy birthday. And he goes, are you going to say thank you? He goes, and then he told this story about with the food and stuff.
I'll say thank you when I get the picture.
Exactly. Yeah. So then he after told me thank you. But back to the picture, I shook John's hand. And then I said, nice to meet you, man. Congratulations on everything. And he said, thank you. And then I forgot what Short said, but it was probably something dumb. And we took the picture together. And that's crazy, man. The fact that we met John Cena, even though it wasn't, a long interaction, it was.
We still met him.
We met him.
He touched this hand.
Yeah, he touched my hand right here.
And that one is so crazy that people in my life don't believe it. Or they didn't off rip. I had three people be like, did you really meet him? And I'm like, yes, that's what the picture is. And they're like, dude, I didn't know. And I'm like, my mom thought it was a wax figure. And she's like, was it real? I'm like, yes, I met him.
Yeah. Now, unless it was a super high def animatronic.
Yeah.
But yeah, and the fact that he had the title on too in the picture.
The 17th breaking title. Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're wearing the same shirt. We're wearing the same shirt.
The line. To meet him was insane.
Yeah. I mean, once you got in the snaking part of the line, it wasn't bad.
Yeah, but the fact that where we started, all the way to the trophies of different sports, the belts.
Yeah.
But that was definitely up there. Now, tell us about your individual
My only solo photo with my girl, Roxanne Perez. People have already commented on it on the post I made on Instagram. Or one person did. The OTF listeners... We're so proud of this moment because I've expressed how much I love Roxanne Perez. I think she is beautiful and I think she's very talented. I definitely think she'll be one of the next top female superstars in the company. And I'm surprised I did not shake and stutter when I met her.
You didn't fold like a beach chair?
No. I went up to her and I said, hey, your journey's amazing, because her journey is amazing. She's been into and started wrestling since she was like 13 years old, going on like I think 6-hour bus rides from Laredo, Texas to Houston, Texas to Booker T's Wrestling Academy. She was committed from a young age, and she's even on WWE TV talking to Natalia, saying how she can become a wrestler and everything. Crazy journey, and I thought that was very inspirational of her. And then we took our picture. And I told her as I was walking away, I said, future world champion. She goes, oh, thank you.
Like, yeah, and plus she did the Triple H point to you.
Yeah, I know. Somebody else left a comment on my post and said it looks like Roxanne's a fan taking a picture with Austin.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, that's fine with me.
By the way, you told me you gave her your number, right?
Yeah, dude, totally.
Yeah, even though she has a boyfriend.
Right? He's whatever, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, I remember, like, when you found out that she was added to there.
I can't stop looking at it, bro.
Dude, like... if she ever does an autograph signing, you got to get that picture signed.
Oh, yeah. That'd be sick.
Yeah.
Get all of them signed.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Those run cheaper than photos, or what do you think?
Autographs are about the same. Okay. More or less. Maybe it's either like $5, $10 more or $5, $10 less, but definitely in that range.
Those jerks.
But my photo ops.
Yes. Those are all the ones that I was a part of.
Yeah.
You went ham with the photo ops.
Well, when in Rome.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So... the first one I'm
just going to hold on to Roxanne for the rest of this.
Well, RVD's on your stomach.
Yeah, he's on the other side.
Yeah.
Anyways, continue.
My first photo op was Dakota Kai, one of my personal favorites. I believe hers was on Friday. Mm-hmm. Same with Penta, but hers was first. And I remember I met her. I shook her hand. That one, like, I'm surprised it didn't fold. Mm. Obviously, she's... on the lower of the totem pole just because of Eddie Thorpe, who I don't like for no reason.
Her boyfriend.
For no reason, by the way. So,
yeah.
Then I met Penta. Obviously, it was cool. I wanted to shake his hand, like, normally, but he had his hand out like that. So, because I'm so used to shaking people's hand, like, normally, and then he did that. So, I'm like, okay, I'll do that, too.
For the listeners, the zero miedo fist bump.
Exactly. Yeah. He went like that. He was doing that to everybody. Yeah. So I talked to him in Spanish, and I said, like, oh, nice to meet you. I'm a big fan. Thanks for representing Mexico. And he said, oh, thanks, man. I appreciate it. And then I, after the picture, I said, have fun this weekend. Instead of good luck, I said, have fun this weekend. and he said, thank you, brother, in Spanish. So that was pretty cool.
Gracias, hermano.
Yeah. Then I didn't go Saturday. That was more like a free day kind of thing until Mania. Sunday, I only had one meet and greet that day, and it was Stephanie Vaquer. And let me tell you, bro, how I didn't fumble, how I didn't mumble, fold, anything under that nature is insane.
I've been thinking about that because, like, I met Roxanne.
Really?
My favorite. Really? I met John Cena, my idol. And I think it's because that we've been in Dodger films and we've become accustomed to, like, fans meeting us, and we've met some cool people in all this time. I think that adjusted us for stuff like this to where we're not like,
you know what I mean? Like, something like that.
Yeah.
Stephanie Vaquer, very beautiful.
She'll probably be up there. Somebody who could be top of the company with the females like Roxanne. So, yeah.
She had the NXT Women's Championship. I said that while she hit that move on Monday to EO Sky. It was just funny. But to the photo op, I spoke to her in Spanish as well because she's from Chile, speaks Spanish over there. So I said, oh, I'm a big fan. Nice to meet you. And then a picture said, oh, thank you, you know, and nice to meet you. And Yeah. Well, luckily I didn't fold, like I said, but it's hers. So,
yeah,
you know, that was that. And then Monday, that was where obviously we met Cena,
RVD. Dom,
RVD, those three. But then my solo photo ops that day were Julia and Cora Jade, whose shirt I'm wearing.
Yes.
Julia was first, I believe, at 11 a.m. She was nice to meet. I was shocked that I think it was Stand and Deliver where she had her hair blue.
In, like, dreads. Sort of.
Yeah. That was interesting, but it was still cool. Yeah. I shook her hand and said, nice to meet you. Oh, best of luck. And I think she ended with, like, arigato. So she was saying that
Japanese.
Yeah. So she was saying that to a lot of people, if not everybody. Yeah. But yeah, that was cool. But then Cora Jade, that one. There was so much I wanted to say to her, but with the very limited time that these photo op people give us, there was so much I could have brought up. I could have brought up, you know, Rolling Loud, because she was at Rolling Loud, that same one in LA that I was at. Or, you know, I could have brought up, you know, music interest or something like that, or how she's one of my favorites. She even complimented on my shirt. She goes, "Oh, that's a nice shirt." And I go, well, thank you. Like, because it's her. I mean, there wasn't much I could say. But yeah, it was, yeah. I had so much fun meeting her. She was cool. Shook her hand. Yeah, all the photo op. Those were her and Dakota Kai were up there for sure as part of my even favorites.
With all your solo ones, were any of those faster than the RVD interaction? No. That's no. crazy.
So I think what was the RVD one? Like, what, 7 seconds?
Short.
I think the shortest one that was my solo ones.
Penta, Dakota, Cora, Julia, Stephanie.
Probably Julia, just because I didn't say much to her. But that's because I didn't say much to her. There's, even though the people were rushing, like, oh, thank you, blah, 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 like.
Yeah,
it's just because I didn't say much. If I had enough to say to her, I would say something to her, something meaningful, of course.
Yeah,
not just a hi, hello, nice to meet you, see ya. Yeah. But yeah, Julia probably the shortest. But yeah, all great. It was so cool. It's like, yeah, like I could have saved money and not do it, but it's like, you know, when you're over there, like when in Rome,
you. Oh, but you one. Sold CM Punk and EO Sky.
Well, I mean, when there's money to be made, especially in Las Vegas. Look at
the 180 on that.
Hey, but. Vegas.
Anyway.
Money's to be made.
I still got all my bands on, too.
I took them off.
Floor for Sunday, floor for Saturday, and then WWE World on Monday. But, yeah, that was a lot of fun. Definitely never going to forget that weekend, all the memories we made. We are also potentially going to be at Money in the Bank.
That's right.
Cannot wait for that. It was announced to be in Los Angeles. So, hopefully, we'll find some good tickets for that. And it would be, I'm not counting Saturday night's main event, it would be my first pay-per-view that is not WrestleMania. So, who knows? We'll wait and see on that. The podcast, we'll get back into.
I do want to mention, we also got these Travis Scott boxes.
Well, what are you about to do?
I don't know. Hey, maybe if the podcast listeners were to maybe, you know, comment and say if they want to see this open.
Oh, well, if you said that at the beginning, the odds would be great.
Yeah, but you know what? The true fans would love to see.
Okay, well, you're going to have to put the odds on one comment because this is the end of the podcast.
Well, if we get enough comments, enough traction, we'll definitely. Yeah, if we get enough.
What's enough?
50 comments.
It's not happening.
Maybe you
don't. Bella doesn't want to open it.
Do you believe?
No.
Okay, then. But, yeah, I'm excited to hopefully open it if we get enough traction there. But, I won a box. You won a box. You sold me your box to me.
Yeah.
I really want to open it, though. So
that's up to you.
If we get enough,
we'll definitely open it. The podcast will be back to its normal swing of things now that WrestleMania has come and gone. We've done our breakdown. We've shared our thoughts. And we'll be talking about different topics and all the other stuff that you guys know and love. Thank you to everybody that does love WWE and wrestling just as much as us for listening and for being fans, being bench warmers of us in general. We appreciate every single one of you. And remember, we post every single Thursday the audio on Spotify and Apple.
The YouTube version is up on Fridays at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern.
Correct. And that will wrap it up. So, see you in episode 107.